Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio once again. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now and on tap. This is the broadcast for, wow, it's already the 9th? Wow, November 9th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two with the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, to be our guide. We also are convinced that the checks and balances put in place by the founders, brilliant, one of the great solutions to peaceful restoration. We stand against revolution, stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. A quick recap of yesterday's show, still available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. We had our guest on, Mr. Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. I'm a lifetime member and highly recommend you become one as well. They're the only non-compromised gun lobby in America today. They're doing a great job. We talked about this Devin Kelly guy escaped from a psychiatric hospital in 2012. He literally tried to sneak weapons onto the Air Force base. He made death threats against his superiors, according to the New York Times. He assaulted some people sexually. He literally assaulted his wife and a child. He literally couldn't buy guns, but he bought them. He committed the horrific crimes, and now they're blaming it on good, honest, innocent Americans like you and I, that we shouldn't be able to keep and bear arms. Trump wisely points out, thank heavens the good guys had guns because they stopped the criminal. And boy, howdy, do I agree with that reality check. The desperate empire swamp strikes back in loser, tiny, failing attempt. They wanted you to believe that the Democrats just took over yesterday, that it's an incredible reality check for 18, that the Democrats are coming back, they're going to rise again. You know, I agree that if the Republicans don't start to move the needle on something, Donald's been, what, it's been a year since his election? 10 months or something like that, while he's been in office or whatever. And I don't see a whole lot of needle moving towards the promises that were made. The Republicans, all of them, Donald, every faction made these incredible promises about changing America. And I don't see that they've got hardly anything done at this point. So I agree that they might pay in 18 if they're not very careful. But I also agree that this idea that the Democrats just won big everywhere and it's ultimate payback or repudiation against Donald Trump, it's all a big old lie. They talked about Ed Gillespie lost for governor in Virginia, for example. They talked about Virginia electing the first transgender. All right. They talked about Phil Murphy, a Democrat, is the winner of the New Jersey gubernatorial race. Okay, they say swamp recaptures. Well, I said swamp recaptures Governor's Mansion in New Jersey. Cesspool calls Ed Gillespie racist. Bill de Blasio wins as the mayor of New York once again. Democrats hit lowest approval rating, says a poll. So what gives with that? See, it's all over the map is the problem here. Well, anyway, the reason that I bring all this up now is I don't know if you know, but Steve Bannon offered to campaign for Ed Gillespie, but he was denied, says Henry Rogers. So this is an example where they act like this is totally against Trump, that this Ed Gillespie guy lost, that, man, he was a total Trump guy. Trump loved this guy. They were just, like, joined at the hip. And so this is a rejection of Donald Trump. Well, no, Steve Bannon tried to help Ed Gillespie, and Ed and team said no. What you've got is swamp critter battling swamp critter, and then they blame it on Donald because he might back someone. Now, as we all know, there's insider trading. There's reasons people back people that don't match what appears on the surface. All I'm telling you is this idea that this is against Trump is completely false. The question is, do you believe your lying eyes? Do you believe all the wins that they got yesterday attributed to everybody, you know, rejects the Republicans? Here's the big problem. Why are we even talking about a Republican-Democrat deny or divide? The truth is swamp critter after swamp critter wins and loses, and they all join against we the American people. This tax reform bill is a perfect example. They worked on the bill in secret. They release it. It raises the deficit big time. We'll get to that as the broadcast unfolds. Anyway, mega church pastor Carl Lantz refuses to condemn abortion. What does that say? That's the point that I make. You got these pastors you believe are good guys that'll be pro-life for sure. They're Christian church mega pastor leaders, right? Pastor leaders, right? Well, they refuse to double down against abortion now. See how the swamp's taken over everywhere? Trump is prepared to gut Obamacare by executive order. I warn against that for the checks and balances reasons. However, if they can wisely do it and make the Republicans fly right for a change, it might have some value. Dan Rather says the media's job is to be honest. Boy, howdy, do we agree with that. He admits journalists need to do a better job. We've been telling you that for over a couple of decades. In Ecuadorian cave, they've got these rich folks, I guess, getting meals served in a dark cave by the blind. Very weird story. While that's going on, I guess a Provo group is working with local grocers to feed the hungries. KSL.com brought that to the table. Good for them, and good private sector charitable solutions on the table. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or LDS Church, donates $10 million to help the homeless in the Salt Lake area. They're putting their money where their mouth is. But understand there's gratitude for church members helping with the response for disasters. This is great news because they're not just giving cash. They're getting involved. Cash is only part of the equation, but they're helping out in a myriad of ways. I guess GOP Provo Mayor John Curtis wins, takes Jason Chapin's spot in Congress. That's a tragedy. We also talked about iHeartMedia. Watch their filings. They're going to probably be declaring the big BK. And my response is simple. The new media takes center stage. Don't you like that, huh? Right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is still available at libertyroundtable.com. By the way, do you want raw honey delivered directly to your door? Tastes great at Christmas, great at Thanksgiving. You order today, and it'll be delivered in time if you hurry. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211, or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. By the way, speaking of Kurt, he just walked in. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right, got a bunch of stories to start with. Did you know that the Star Spangled Banner is racist, Kurt?
I know that anything these days seems to be labeled racist.
Yeah, well, the California NAACP wants to remove the racist Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem. Justin Caruso with the story, Kurt. Now, let's talk about this. Wow. Do you understand what it says in the third and fourth, or the fourth verse, or whatever, Kurt? Do you want to pull up the lyrics to this thing?
I probably sung it, several times.
Well, you wouldn't even know because you're a racist. You just love that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Now that's what they're saying. You might not know this, Kurt, because the problem is racists have sung it for their whole lives and they don't even realize when parts of it are racist. See what I mean?
Yes.
Now that's what they're talking about. That's what they're literally saying at this point. And my response, is it really racist or is it just acknowledging something that was historically accurate? Just because we sing something that may have roots in history that has a line in it that we may or may not agree with, that doesn't mean that we're racist. It doesn't mean we go along with it. It doesn't mean that we don't have an updated view.
So it's the third verse or fourth verse?
I got to look this up. I'm not sure. One of the two.
So in the third one, I can read it.
Just look down it for the racist comments, Kurt. You should be able to find that, right?
It says, the third verse says, and where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph doth wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's the third one, the fourth verse. Thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Yeah. So you can't even find the racist part in there, can you, Kurt?
Well, I see where it says slave in verse 3.
All right, let's hear that. Read the slave line,
Kurt.
Let's
see. It says, no refuge could save the hireling and slave.
See?
Maybe they had the IRS back then. Let's see. Then you have...
Hold on. So you get how racist that is, don't you, Kurt? Look it up. There's really news about this all over the internet. Just type in Star Spangled Banner racist and see what you get. And we'll come back and talk about this. This is absolutely... They're coming for George Washington and the Star Spangled Banner. And the conservatives, the freedom lovers, really do nothing, Kurt.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land. The Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. So we're talking about the Star Spangled Banner is literally racist. That's what these revisionist historical folks want you to believe. They just want you to believe that somehow you're a racist if you even sing the songs of our forefathers. And this is my problem here. Okay, now, does it talk about slavery? Does it single out slaves? Yes, it does, but that's historical reality. Do I like that? No, I don't. I don't think anybody should ever be slaves. That's why I think we need to shut down the IRS, because I'm a slave right now. Okay? But they want to remove the Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem. They want to take down the George Washington Monument because he was a slave owner. Okay, the problem is we're not looking at this through appropriate lenses. But now look, mainstream press stories are talking about this all over the country. The NAACP of California, one of the most racist organizations that I know of, literally wants to go ahead and take this out of our, I don't know if you would say lexicon, repertoire of stories or songs. I don't even know, Kurt. What's the bottom line here, though? What do they say in these stories? It's just fascinating.
Well, this is the Sacramento Bee story, and it says it's highly cited. So
yeah, it hit the wire, so it's all over the place.
Somebody writes it, and then everybody else, oh, now that looks good. You know, the Associated Press picks it up, and then everybody, you know, shoots it everywhere. But this thing, you know, the headline basically reads, remove the Star Spangled Banner as national anthem, California NAACP urges. No response from the NAAWP, Sam. The
by the way, I don't know if you know, but David Duke is the leader of that.
You know, it's amazing to me that we just couldn't ever have one of those. But anyway, this
we
guy's
got one.
I haven't heard much from him.
That's because they can't get the word out because the media shuts them down, and conservative white people don't own any of the media, and so therefore, hey,
good point.
That's how it is.
The state chapter there in California of this National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
And it's interesting, even in their name, they use the term colored, and they say that you're kind of a racist these days if you use the term colored.
That.
You're supposed to just use black. Aren't they up with the times? But this just goes to show and prove our point.
Yeah. They say they're going to seek the support for a campaign to remove the Star Spangled Banner as the national anthem. You know, they say we owe a lot of this to Kaepernick. This is what the California NAACP president, Alice Huffman, said. I think all of this controversy about the knee will go away once the song is removed. Now, I would simply say, are you kidding me? All that happens is
it will go
just
away.
Want more and more.
No, hold on. It will go away. They'll quit taking a knee and it'll be removed and we'll just skip another reality check of modern freedom history and then they'll just move on to the next item. But it will go away, Kurt.
Well, it'll go away to the next thing.
That's right.
That's all that means. It says the kneeling protests have drawn attention to an infrequently sung third verse from the Star Spangled Banner, which includes the passage, "Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave."
And by the way, do you want slaves to be saved, Kurt?
Well, I do.
I want them to be saved from slavery. I want them to be saved from everything, Kurt.
And I don't, you know, I know that slaves are a little different, they say, than a hireling, somebody who's, you know, maybe an indentured servitude, you know, somebody who's got to pay for 20, 30 years for a house or whatever. You know, it's sure kind of different these days, the definitions. But they say some interpretations of the lyrics conclude that they celebrate the deaths of black American slaves who joined British troops. I didn't read that.
Doesn't it say save the slaves and the hire?
Yeah, save the hireling and slave.
But you're trying to save them. How does that, you know, but again, you can make things say anything you want, Kurt, if you just flat out lie and if you just play games and if you just, you know, politically divide and have a racist agenda.
Yep.
Now, you're not even really allowed to sing that, though, Kurt.
I didn't even know this part. It says Francis Scott Key, they say, who wrote the lyrics of the Star Spangled Banner, was a slave owner and fierce opponent of abolition, it says, who they say may have sparked the first race riot in Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know about that, but, you know,
hey, Kurt,
it would surprise me if
you're gonna accept
they weren't twisting history.
Historical revisionism, then just accept that and perpetuate that as far and as wide and as long as you can till it becomes a given lie, okay? That's all you got to do. Tell that lie often enough, buddy,
point.
And that's how they're going to roll with this, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Then they talk about, one assemblyman out there in California, his name is, I don't know if it's his or her or its name, but it's Travis Allen, says, "Our flag and national anthem unite us as Americans." He's a, well, it must be a he, Huntington Beach Republican who's running for governor, protesting our flag and national anthem sows division and disrespects the diverse Americans who have proudly fought and died for our country.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
It says, protesting our flag and national anthem sows division and disrespects the diverse Americans who have proudly fought and died for our country.
See, now I agree with that statement.
Yeah, it says real social change can only happen if we work together as Americans first, end quote. So that's way down in the story.
Sounds kind of Trump-esque.
They don't give much
coverage. But here's the bottom line, though, and Kurt.
Yeah.
All I'm telling you is what they do is they shame everyone into complete silence. So headline says Trump salutes deplorables on anniversary of election victory. But they're shaming everyone. Right? I mean, that's their mantra. And now here's the interesting thing. And I just sent this to you. We'll talk about this after the break. All right? But David Kapelian, he is the editor of WorldNet Weekly, I think it's called.
All right.
Or, you know, WorldNet Daily Magazine. It's the WorldNet Weekly or whatever. And David Kapelian is a well-known editor and author. Yeah, it's Whistleblower. That's right. Anyway, Whistleblower Magazine. I guess they got a WorldNet Daily, a WorldNet Weekly, Whistleblower Magazine. It's hard to know exactly which, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He works over there.
David Kapelian does a great job over there, and he wrote an incredible column that I emailed you that I hate to, like, read columns on the radio because it's usually boring. But this one is so spot on for this point, Kurt. I don't really know what else to do except for to do that.
Okay.
It's the headline is called Guilt and Redemption in a Hyper-Divided America, written by David Kapelian. David explains how the left, again, I don't like that because it acts like it's the left-right paradigm, but the left manipulates people into betraying their deepest values. It's an incredible article that we need to talk about because it, when you start to say we're going to take down George Washington's statue, we're going to, you know, shut down all these historical realities. We're going to, you know, remove the national anthem because it's racist. Everybody that's white is a racist. Everybody that's any other color can't be a racist. Well, the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, they can't say black people because then what about all the Latinos and all the Asians and all the other people of, quote, color? However, as far as I understand, black's not even a color, but white is, right? I don't know how all that works. Confuses blind people like me, but I'm just telling you, it's interesting. Nevertheless, David Kapelian writes this incredible dissertation, if you will, on the problem in America and how we are betraying everything we hold dear on the altar of this guilt idea. And somehow, if we just have enough guilt, if we just pay enough, if we just, then we can somehow have redemption. In that is the lie. It's kind of like the founding fathers said, you know what, if you trade your security, I'm sorry, you trade your liberty for security, you'll end up with neither. It's like that. You, there should be appropriate guilt for wrong things done. But there should not be guilt when you've done nothing wrong. And see, that's where they get you. You feel guilty, so then you want to do anything you can. So you got white people running around with collars on to mimic the how sorry they are for slavery. You've got us betraying our most important historical reality checks to keep us tied to our forefathers and our founders. They want to cut all those ties, and they're going to do it on the altar of guilt.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
He Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Guilt and redemption in a hyper-divided America. David Capellian, WND.com, writes the piece. David explains how, I would say, the swamp, the insiders, manipulate people into betraying their deepest values. Kurt's got the details. I don't like to read columns on the air, really, because they're kind of long and boring if you do that. But however, this one is so spot on, I almost don't see any other choice to get the point across well enough. Kurt?
Very good. It says, it has become increasingly clear that the left's ever more bizarre agenda for America, from passing laws prescribing imprisonment for those who fail to use the correct transgender pronoun, by the way, he says, out of over 50 new genders, to importing into the U.S. as many migrants as possible from impossible-to-vet terrorist hotbed regions of the world, to demonizing centuries of American history and destroying statues of the nation's founders, is simply insane. Not progressive, not radical, insane. How and why, then, is the left able to sell this suicidal agenda to millions of otherwise rational people? By what magic do they convince decent, law-abiding Americans to allow men to use women's restrooms and changing rooms and showers, to support abortion up to the very moment of birth, which is in every way identical to the heinous crime of infanticide, to believe that all white people, just because of their skin color, are automatically racist? The answer is simple. They manipulate other people's emotions and thereby their thinking. And one of their most effective tactics is the guilt trip. Essentially an emotional manipulation in which one party tries to induce guilt feelings in a target person or group for the purpose of controlling their behavior. Of course, David Capellian continues, in this fallen world, people manipulate the thoughts and feelings of others all the time for the sake of power and advantage. But what happens when an entire political movement or ideology adopts these tactics wholesale? Today's left which increasingly dominates the Democratic Party, attacks, demeans, demonizes, and shames all those with whom it disagrees every day, from morning until night, branding them as bigots, racists, misogynists, fascists, deplorables, homophobes, xenophobes, Islamophobes, and so on. In a word, haters. On one level, the process resembles simple intimidation and compliance if you oppose the radical, unconstitutional, far-left policies implemented by former President Barack Obama. You're a racist. If you disagree with unfettered abortion on demand throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, you want to oppress women. If you are troubled by illegal immigration's negative impact on America's economy, culture, and security, you're anti-immigrant. If you oppose same-sex marriage or recruiting open transgenders into America's armed forces, in parentheses they write, obligating taxpayers to shell out millions to pay for gender reassignment surgery, in parentheses, you're a hateful bigot. Such is the warp and weft, there's a word I don't know, of current American politics, all day, every day, to the point that America has grown used to it.
And that's the problem, Kurt. See, it's all day, every day, and to the point where the American people have become used to it. And that steady diet of deception and lies and manipulation and tampering with people's emotions, and this guilt agenda, even when you've done nothing wrong, just guilt by association is kind of where we're at. You're associated with the founding fathers who were slaveholders and owners and abusers. You know, you sing the national anthem. So this guilt is what they're pushing to the point where, hey, if the conservatives had enough media to tell the real tale, then this wouldn't happen. But since we don't have enough media, we don't have any real, then everybody's on a steady diet of this stuff is this point. And he's spot on, Kurt. Like, I've never seen someone write it. David Kapelian is spot on this.
Yeah, and it seems like, Sam, this isn't the article, but it's just my comments, but it seems like the only real way to get, I guess you could say, repentance or redemption, you know, to come from the evils that you, well, since you're a white person, that you've obviously done, is you'd have to give up everything you've got and change to be a black person, right?
Well, the problem is you're not allowed to change to be a black person. You can change your sex, but you can't change your race. You can't be a wannabe and do that. They won't let you do that. And if you're a white person, you can put everything on the altar to try to be forgiven and to change and to repent and quit being evil. But the fact that you're a white person makes it impossible to do that.
Well, Robert Byrd sort of did it. Remember, he gave, what was it, $10 million of taxpayer dollars to the NAACP. And it was how he kind of got
redemption. That's just special, like whitelisting. Yeah. Can I say that? That's special, like giving them a list of privileged people that don't count. Hillary doesn't count either. Bill Clinton was like the first black man. He doesn't count either. So certain politicians are just above the status, you know, reality. But you and I can never, ever, no matter what we do, get rid of our whiteness. I mean, the harm that we did as white people and the fact that we're progenitors of those who did the harm just make us guilty, and there's really no way to overcome it, although would love you to spend your life trying. See, they know that it isn't true anyway, Kurt. That's why you can never get rid of it, because then they lose that whipping post status or that abusive status, that hostile. It's kind of like the IRS. It'll never go away as long as they can abuse us with it. Well, this is the same thing, too. They want you to believe you can always try to overcome it. Thus, you should strive for that forever. But they're never really going to let you out of that box that you're in, Kurt. Never.
Well, yeah, it's something they use as a weapon against you.
That's right. You and know, David talks about they've weaponized this. Keep going.
Yep. All right. So he says, such is the warp and weft of current American politics, all day, every day, to the point that America has grown used to it. He says, the left advances a shockingly destructive agenda. The right complains. The left accuses the right of being fascists and Nazis, and the right shuts up. But there's more to it, much more. The left specializes in literally playing on, one could say preying upon, the good conscience of Americans. Conscience, he puts, a human being's inborn moral compass, is arguably his most important faculty. And how do people know when they violated their conscience and done the wrong thing? Guilt. The unique human sense of inner conflict experienced after one deviates from the dictates of conscience. Alas, many people have discovered how to manipulate others' emotions, including guilt. People can also be tricked into feeling guilty even when they haven't actually done anything wrong. And of course, one's guilt over long past wrongs can be resurrected and weaponized by others. One manifestation of the left's guilt tripping is its almost universal practice of shaming. The left shames and demonizes ordinary Americans over issues as fundamental as their having voted for Donald Trump for president. During the election season, Hillary Clinton famously described tens of millions of American citizens who supported Trump as deplorable and irredeemable.
See, that's that irredeemable part. You'll never, ever overcome it, folks. But we want you to be stupid enough
to
let
trying.
That guilt drive you to try forever and capitulate on everything you hold dear.
Good point.
Keep going.
He continues, one issue where left-wing guilt shaming is both reflexive and out of control is the Second Amendment. Every time there's a mass shooting incident, the left immediately blames gun owners, Congress, and the National Rifle Association for the crime victims' deaths. A classic example of left-wing guilt shaming can be seen in filmmaker Michael Moore's anti-gun documentary, Bowling for Columbine. Moore takes two high school students, one of them in a wheelchair, and both crippled by school shooters Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, during the Columbine massacre into a Kmart store. The camera's rolling. Moore shames the store personnel for having sold the 9mm ammo used in the shooting spree. While confronting a Kmart official, Moore refers repeatedly to the Kmart bullets lodged in one boy's back and so on.
We'll tell you more. I'm telling you right now, this column is spot on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about more repercussions in seconds, okay?
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand, and then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor Score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so we're in the middle of this incredible column written by David Capellian, WND.com. Guilt and Redemption in a Hyper-Divided America. David explains how the left manipulates people into betraying their most precious values by literally guilting their conscience into giving up everything they hold dear. Kurt continues, we're talking about Columbine and how these Michael Moore guy literally plays on people's emotions. It acts like it's, you know, Kmart bullets that murdered these people. And I mean, it's just manipulated to the nth degree, but Americans don't seem to catch it or do anything about it, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point. And so he's talking about the movie that Michael Moore did called Bowling for Columbine, where he goes into the Kmart. I never saw the movie, thank goodness. Then it says, although Kmart at that time sold no firearms at all, probably already got shamed into that, I would add, and only ammunition of common hunting calibers, this exercise in very public shaming was intended to portray Kmart as complicit in mass murder so as to shame it and other retailers into stopping ammunition sales. But without doubt, the issue most exploited by today's guilt trippers is race. In 2017 America, so many innocent Americans have been called racists and white supremacists that the terms are close to losing their meaning. Imagine you committed some transgression in the distant past, but had long since repented, confessed it, apologized, and made amends. And yet your partner, nevertheless, used that long past sin as a weapon against you for the rest of your life. That's what is occurring in the political realm today. Except the vast majority of those accused of systemic racism, whites, have never actually committed the sin in question. After all, when all of America's slaves and slaveholders have been dead for well over a century, how could anyone now alive possibly be held responsible? Easily, he says, for while the U.S. is the world's least racist nation, the ever-enraged left regards America's entire history as predatory, racist, and even genocidal, and has thus marshaled every resource available from academia to the media to play upon Americans' residual national guilt over slavery and segregation. In the process, they have somehow become comfortable with defaming and demonizing millions of thoroughly decent Americans, as Vice President Joe Biden did in 2012 when he told a largely black audience that Republicans are going to put y'all back in chains. This section he calls, "We Don't Combat Shame, We Worship It." The left's guilt-tripping mania has gotten so bad, with constant attacks on President Trump as Hitler and his supporters as white supremacists, and violent Antifa assaults on the constitutionally protected free speech rights of others while calling them fascists, that some progressive activists have had enough and are finally sounding the alarm. Progressives must preach understanding, not shame, to be effective, writes Democratic organizer and activist Andrew Redlosk in a USA Today op-ed. To vilify shame and condemn only causes those who don't understand to dig in their heels. If we are the ones who want change, the responsibility is ours to do what it takes to encourage it, he adds. To summarize, progressives, stop insulting, stop shaming, and stop condescending. Start listening, start teaching. The left has compared President Trump to Adolf Hitler. Likewise, in a New York column, New York Times column, headlined, "Stop Shaming Trump Supporters," Michael Lerner, rabbi of Beit Tikkun Synagogue in Berkeley, California, editor of Tikkun Magazine and chairman of the New Network of Spiritual Progressives, condemns the left's insistence on blaming white people as a whole for slavery, genocide of the Native Americans, and a host of other sins, as though whiteness itself was something about which people ought to be ashamed. And David Kapelian continues, and Chicago community organizer R.L. Stevens II, an elected representative to the far-left Democratic Socialists of America's National Political Committee, takes on the entire progressive movement in his blog post, quote, "The left's self-destructive obsession with shame," end quote. "To my dismay," he writes, "I've found myself in the midst of a social justice world that not only encourages shame, but also, or he says, but uses it as a weapon. Shame is so often at the root of personal dysfunction, and here we have a left dedicated to its perpetual transference. Shame is ultimately self-destructive, and in no way can such a sentiment be a foundation for a healthy community. We confuse shaming for justice, and I've had enough," end quote. So have I, by the way. He adds, he continues, "Indeed," explains Stevens, "in the modern left, we don't combat shame, we worship it. Perhaps the most obvious expression of the left's present obsession with shame and shaming can be seen in what has been dubbed call-out culture. The call-out is a form of shaming which intentionally labels an individual as fundamentally bad and is a deeply toxic tendency in the left. Zeroing in on the left's mass demonization of the police, Stevens cites an example of shaming gone wild. Shaming is such an integral part of the left's DNA that it's our default response to almost any situation. Take police brutality, for example. I've been to leftist events where the police have started beating one of us, and the crowd suddenly breaks out their cell phones and starts chanting, 'Shame, shame, shame,' or 'The whole world is watching,' statements designed to trigger shame. We shame the police officer, making the beating an issue of the cop's moral character, which relieves us of having to develop political and practical solutions to police brutality. Shaming individuals as a substitute for concerted political effort and substantive analysis cannot yield dynamic movements capable of remedying the material effects of oppression."
Anyway, the bottom line is, unless there's something else critical in it, there's a lot there. And unless there's anything else that you want to highlight really quick. And I wanted to read enough of that because I don't even know how to get his point across. It's so well written. I can talk about it. But David explains that they literally manipulate people based on this shame, this guilt idea, and this carrot out there of, quote, redemption that you will never achieve, as the way to put everybody in a box and literally shut down all conservatives, all constitutionalists, all Christians, all moral people, all white people, all whatever. And they literally shout us down with shame. And Americans have fallen for it because it appeals to their conscience. They say, well, of course I'm not a racist. Let me prove to you that I'm not a racist. Of course I don't want to be harmful to this gay person over here. Why would I'm a Christian. Why would I ever want to be harmful to a gay person? I might disagree with his choices, or wait a minute, he's born gay. It's not a choice. See, and now, oh my gosh, well, I'm so sorry that I misunderstood that. And now we debate the scientific, quote, debate on this. And pretty soon I'm just going, well, either way, I'm so sorry that my religion is bigoted, and my viewpoints and my, you know, forefathers and my raising and my heritage and my, and we sacrifice all on this altar. Let me prove the point to you. Now, Rand Paul got beat up by his neighbor, got 6 broken ribs. He's sick. He can't even go to work. He got beat up so bad. They tried to make it like it wasn't a very bad beating, but it was. And now a GQ writer. GQ is like a premier men's magazine, right? A GQ magazine writer claims that Rand Paul had beat down a cum and he deserved it. You want to know why, Kurt? Because Rand Paul is a blank hole.
He's white,
an
probably,
a-hole.
Huh?
For a neighbor. I kid you not. Because here's the deal. Rand Paul believes in property rights, Kurt. Could you imagine having a neighbor that believes in that kind of stuff?
That is bad, isn't it?
I hear that. The guy was actually out. Imagine a senator mowing his own lawn, Kurt. I mean, Rand was doing that too. So this senator that gets out there and mows his own lawn. And then runs around and talks about property rights all day. I mean, you know, so this GQ writer literally says Rand Paul had the beating coming, deserved it, should be responsible for it. This is the kind of stuff that and now here's what's going to happen. All the liberals are going to basically push hard on this, and they're going to say Rand Paul's a white supremacist. He's evil. He hangs out with the founding fathers. Rand Paul needs to be shamed. I mean, it's only just payback. It's only that this poor neighbor has been, you know, downtrodden and abused by the property rights stance of Rand Paul for 17 years of neighborship. And my gosh, it's only just, I mean, it's necessary. The poor guy just couldn't take it anymore. And they go down this lie and they excuse violence on the altar of shame. How dare a senator mow his own lawn? How dare a senator talk about property rights? How dare a senator stand with the founding fathers? And they're literally now trying to make people feel shame for defending Rand Paul from the violence that he took from his neighbor. I mean, it's amazing.
You know, there's a number of articles on the Rand Paul thing, and one says Rand Paul hints that his assault wasn't gardening related. yeah, I think not.
Well, again, it was this on this altar of David Kapelian's article. I emailed David Kapelian and said, hey, do you want to come on the radio and talk about your incredible column? So hopefully we'll get David on about this. But all I'm telling you is, you know what? Wow. David's spot on, and Americans better get involved in the media. They better, you know, reject. You can call me a racist all you want to. I don't care because I know it's not even true. Okay, it's a lie. It's an absolute flat-out lie. You've never seen me treat anybody based on their skin color or their ethnic origins or whatever you are on race, less than anyone else, ever, never. And I speak against it every day that I can. I reject slavery, even those that are slaves to the IRS. Are you going to help me get rid of that slavery? This nation shall endure.